Princeton, where's my ID? Where's my ID, Princeton? Where's my ID? Bruh.
Welcome to Being Eve. I'm your host, Casey Alexis, and this podcast is designed for the everyday woman who seeks to do more than just survive. You want to thrive. The goal is to inspire, empower, and encourage you as you find commonalities within my story and the stories of some extraordinary guests. Join me as we dive into this brand new episode.
Hey there, lovely ladies. Welcome back to Being Eve. So as you all know, Season 4, we are focusing on the topic of identity. And like you just heard, my 11-month-old son decided to lose my ID, partly my fault because I did let him play with my wallet, but I didn't think he was going to lose the actual thing. But at the same time, I'm grateful for it because God used it to actually teach me a major lesson that goes beyond just the ID. But as we get into identity, you all will hear why this amazing lesson was so good and so timely, and we are all going to benefit from it. So like I said before in episode 1 of this season, this is one of those seasons you're going to want to tune into. You're going to want to pay attention to. You're going to want to have your Bible, notes, your journal, because this is one topic that in the body of Christ, we need to hear over and over and over again. We do have an identity crisis in the body of Christ, especially here in America. Our world would not look like how it looks right now. That's just the bottom line. And if you want to kind of test it out, just look at the Word of God and look at what we're seeing and experiencing. Because we have an identity crisis in the body of Christ, the earth is paying for it. The world is paying for it. People that don't know who Christ is paying for it. Man, there's so much that I want to get into, and I don't want to get into it so soon. Let's get into the basics, right? So my son loses my ID. And because he loses my ID, I'm like, wow, identifications are so important, because without it, there's certain things that you are limited that you're not able to do, right? When you don't have your ID, you can't drive. People won't know who you are. You can't get on a plane without a passport, your license, something identifying you to a particular region, to a particular country, to a state. We all need to have identification in this world in order to do the things that we need to do, get to different places, to travel, make certain purchases. Identification is necessary. If you even want to use your credit card and they're want to vouching that you are who you say you are, if you want to purchase a beverage, you're going to need your identification. And when I say a beverage, you know I'm talking about an alcoholic beverage. You're going to need identification. And so IDs are so important because it lets whoever is checking it know who you are. It identifies you. It says that you were born on this day at this time. You belong in this country. And so without ID, you are limited in what you are able to do. And so that's pretty much what happened. Once my ID was missing and gone, I was limited, right? You know, driving while dirty, you know what I'm saying? Getting in the car, driving here and there without ID is dangerous, because guess what? If you get stopped, you're going to either be ticketed. Sometimes they even tow your vehicle, because you are driving a licensed vehicle without your license. And so lo and behold, God is like, listen, with the kingdom of God, there is an identification. And let's get into what identity is, the basics, before we get into the identification in the kingdom. So the very basics of identity is the definition. Let's get there, because if we don't know what it means, we won't have the basic foundations to what identity is and what it's used for and how important it is, right? So identity, the term is defined by Merriam-Webster as the condition of being the same with something, described or asserted. establish the identity of goods, right? Sameness of essential or generic character in different instances. Sameness in all that constitutes the objective reality of a thing. Oneness. So identity, right, asserts and describes sameness. If you come from New York, there's a certain identifiable quality about New Yorkers. I'm from New York. So when I see another New Yorker, I can identify them either by their accent, by their swag, by the way they carry themselves, right? Or just like you can describe someone who comes from the South, a particular region of the United States, right? You can identify them by their accent, the way they carry themselves, their mannerisms. They have good manners mostly. So you can identify people based upon the sameness, that's an identifiable quality of that particular person. So when we talk about identity and not having it, especially from a kingdom biblical mindset, you can see why with the identity crisis that we have in the body of Christ, there is no sameness. The sameness is missing. The essential generic character of what it means to be a Christian right now is kind of all over the place. There's no identifiable qualities of what it means to actually be a believer in Christ Jesus. And when I'm saying that there's no identifiable qualities, I'm not saying that it doesn't exist. I'm saying that it's hard to pinpoint because there's so many denominations. There's so many quote unquote truths, right? Traditions, all these things that kind of separate us, all these things that kind of put wedges in between us, all these things that make us ineffective, make us unable to carry the same weight that the first church carried in the first century, right? There were some identifiable qualities about the first church because the Bible says in the book of Acts, I believe it's Acts chapter 3, if my memory serves me correctly, it says that they were of one mind and one heart. So that was an identifiable quality because they operated in unity. To be of one mind and one heart, you have to operate in unity. So before I get in too deep there, let's focus on why the topic of identity is important to God. All right, we got to go back to the very beginning. If we want to focus on identity and what that means to God, we got to go back to the very beginning of with Adam and Eve, right? And y'all know that's a topic that is very close, near, and dear to my heart, hence why the podcast is called Being Eve and why I wrote a book entitled Being Eve in Adam's World. Because without understanding the beginning, the origin of a thing, how do you know who you are? How do you know what you are called to do if you don't understand your origins? And so let's go to the beginning. What did God have in mind? What was Adam doing? So we're not going to go all the way to the beginning. We're going to go into like Genesis chapter 2, where Adam is, he's naming things. And so on page 17 of Being Eve in Adam's World, I talk about how Adam is naming all the animals. Hold it right there. God has given Adam in Genesis chapter 2 the ability, the authority to identify the animals. So Adam is calling a lion, a tiger, a bear, a bear. Oh, hey, that's a bluebird. Yeah, you're going to be called bluebird, right? He's naming. God has given him the authority to name and identify the animals by name. All right, so that shows us right there, identity is very important to God, okay? Now, while Adam is doing that and he's done naming the animals, lo and behold, God says, hold up. It is not good for a man to be alone. Adam does not have a suitable mate. So let's give Adam a suitable mate. So he puts Adam into a deep sleep. And while he puts Adam into a deep sleep, you got to go read it, right? Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. Go ahead and read that. But also, if you have Being Eve in Adam's World, focus in on page 17. So while Adam is in a deep sleep, God pulls out a rib out of Adam's side. He covers it up with flesh. And then he takes that rib out of a living being, out of Adam, who was alive, and he creates Eve. Okay? And after he forms Eve, Adam arises up from his deep sleep, and he looks at her. And he says, quote, "This is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." So based upon looking at her, Adam is saying this, I can identify with her because she appears to be the same as me. And then he identifies her and calls her woman because she came out of the womb of man. Okay? And so with that, we understand and know that identity is very important to God. Okay? Let's repeat that. That's something I want you all to hear. So say with me or say it after me. Identity is very important to God. And so if identity is very important to God, and he gave Adam the authority to look at things and identify them with a name, call those things as though they are, what does that say about us as children? Identity is very important to God because he gave Adam the authority to identify those things in the garden. He gave Adam the authority to identify Eve. When you think about being a parent, some of you all may be parents now, and you carry a certain identity about you that your children are also going to carry because they are in your home. And they identify with you, not just because of the name, right? The last name also identifies that you are a family, but there are also some genetic characteristics. There are some sameness qualities about you all that identifies you. As an example, my last name is Alexis. So the Alexis family, based upon my husband, myself, and our children, have identifiable qualities about us because we have certain likeness, certain sameness, okay, in the way we carry ourselves or how we walk, how we talk, that people will be able to tell, oh, they're family. Oh, they must be married and those must be their kids because their kids, oh, that child looks just like her father or that child looks just like her mother, right? There's some identifiable qualities. So that means as believers, right, we should also have identifiable qualities about us that connects us to our Father who art in heaven. Because identity is very important to God. Okay, so now let's go into when we lost our ID. Okay, what happened in the garden that made us lose our ID? Okay, if you started automatically thinking about when Satan came into the garden, ding, 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 you're absolutely correct. Okay, it was in that moment our identity was lost. So why did Satan come after their identity? And how did he come after their identity? Okay, so Satan came into the Garden of Eden and he came to the woman. Okay, the woman that came out of man who carried the identity of life. That was her identity. Life came through her, right? She was purposed to be Adam's helpmate, help meet, and also to bring life into the garden. And so he came to her first and not to Adam. And there was a reason why he did that. But if you want to go into more detail about why he did that, you got to get the book, because I'm not going to get into it on this season of the podcast because we're focusing mostly on identity, right? So he goes to Eve and he tells her, hey, did God really say you could not eat from this tree? Did God really say that you could not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil? And of course, Eve is like, yeah, God said. He said we shouldn't eat from that tree because we would die. And here he says, well, you're not gonna die? God doesn't want you to eat from that tree because you're going to be like God, knowing good and evil. So what did he do when he began to question her? He began to question her because he wanted to place some uncertainty in her identity. He wanted her to become uncertain. He wanted to place doubt in her about who she was, right? And who her father was, her creator was. Because once you start to impart doubt, you start to make everything else shaky. You start to make every truth now become uncertain. And once things become uncertain, you start to question everything. Because you're like, hold up. If he's saying that if I eat of this tree, I'm going to be like God, knowing good and evil, then why did God say that I was made in his image and in his likeness? You're going to question, well, God said I was made in his image and his likeness, but here you're telling me if I eat this tree, I'm going to be like God. So what's the truth? There's an uncertainty there. There's some shakable ground there. And so he imparted that doubt in her because that's exactly what he wanted to happen. He wanted Eve to become uncertain about who she was. He wanted to impart doubt to make her question who she was and question who God created her to be and question her relationship with God. Was he hiding something from me? What was he not telling me? Why would he not tell me that this tree was for that? But little did she know, she was already created in his image and his likeness. She was already God-like in the Garden of Eden. And so because he wanted to impart that doubt in her, what did Satan want? Satan wanted their identity. Remember, if you don't know the story of Lucifer and how he fell, I encourage you again to get into your word, because once you start to get into your word, you're going to know that Lucifer had a desire to be God. He wanted to be like him. He wanted to have that place of God-likeness, and he wanted the worship. He wanted the adoration. He still wants it, right? And so when he saw Adam and Eve actually have a place on earth where they had authority and dominion, right? And then they were actually created, right? In the image of God and in his likeness, they had that God-like factor, and he wanted it, and he desired it. And so what did he do? He implanted doubt in them. He made them question their identity. He made them begin to start to believe something else. And when they started to believe something else, the Bible says the fruit became desirable, and she ate. And the moment she ate, Satan, God, an authority on earth he had never had before. The day Adam and Eve fell, it handed over their authority over to Satan. That's how he got his power to operate on this earth, was because of that tragic day when they decided to believe a lie. And so when they lost their identity, they lost their place, right? They were no longer able to stay in the garden. They were transitioned out of the garden. Then they lost, right, certain characteristics of being in God's image and likeness. They lost their perfection. They now had to do things with hardship. Adam now could not do things with ease anymore, right? He was going to work the land by the sweat of his brow. Eve could no longer bring life into the earth with ease anymore. She was going to have children and bring them in pain. So there were certain God-likeness qualities, right? That sameness that they once had with God, that those identifiable qualities that made them God-like in his image and in his likeness, they lost some of that. And they were placed outside of the garden. God was like, no, they have to die. I can't have them with these imperfections living forever. They were actually so much like God, they were never designed to die. Because of the fall, that's when death came into play. But as in our original state, in our God-likeness, in his image, in his qualities, we were never designed to die. And so they were put out of the garden. They were given their punishment, and then now they had consequences. And so their God-likeness changed. Their purpose, all of that stuff remained the same, but now it was going to be done with hardship. Now it was going to be done with pain and sweat. All right, ladies. So right here, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back, because what I want to do after we come back from break is tie in what happened in the garden to what is happening right now with the world, with us, with the body of Christ. How does that tie into our lives today? You don't want to miss it, so make sure you come right back. Hey, ladies, so we're back. I wanted to, before we jump into the second half of this conversation, I want us to recap what we went over in the first half, because we talked about quite a bit. So I want to make sure that we kind of go over everything and we don't get lost in the sauce. So we talked about the definition of identity, what it means. Then we talked about why identity is important to God. Then we also covered what happened in the garden. We talked about the authority of Adam, right? When Eve came into the picture, what transpired. Then we talked about what happened when the serpent came on the scene, why he went after Eve, why he decided to take what he wanted to take in regards to their identity, what was lost, and what did the enemy gain. So now as we go into the second half of this conversation, what I wanted to focus on is, what does that have to do with us? Thousands of years later, how does this impact us to this very day? Well, the first thing I wanted to kind of highlight, right, is that Satan has not changed, right? He's a leopard that has not changed his spots. He has the same tactics that he had back then, but now he just has more avenues. He has more resources to do it because of technology, right? Because of the internet, the social media. He has better ways of getting to our identity, having us question who we are and who God is. How does he do it? Count it not strange, ladies and gents, if you're listening, that he went after Adam and Eve before they had children. The Bible says that the serpent was crafty. That means he's not dumb. He knew that if I can go after them before they have children, not only will I steal their identity, but I will take their children's also. Not only will I impact their life negatively, but I will impact the lives of their children also. And that's what he does to this very day. And that's why it's so important, if we're parents, even if you're not a parent, you're wanting to be a parent, or you are a son or a daughter of, you know, you came from a mom and a dad. You want to know this information because you want to know how the enemy has planned and has stolen your identity, or had you question your identity, or had you question God at one point or another in your life. And he loves to do it when we're young. He loves to come in when we're very young, before we know who we even are, to have us question our identity. He comes in like a lion seeking whom he may devour at very early places in our lives, in order for us to question, did God really say? Why did this happen to me? How did God allow this to take place? Right? I don't know if you're like me, but I remember when I got molested at the age of 8, at later in life, I was questioning, like, what? Well, God, where were you? How did you allow this to happen? How did you allow this individual to hurt me in this way? I know many people have those types of questions. Many people are still mad at God for things that transpired in their life when they were young in age, where they lost a parent, where they were abused, misused, beaten, battered, destroyed, questioning, God, where were you in this particular instance? The enemy is very crafty. We live in a fallen world with a fallen nature. Every single one of us that came out of the seed of Adam and Eve are fallen. That means we are capable of doing devilish, evil, demonic things. We are capable of doing the worst things because we were born in this fallen Adamic nature. And because Satan became the lowercase g god of this world, it gave him certain authorities to impact our lives in certain ways. And so when we question God, where were you? Listen, when God gave Adam and Eve dominion and territory on this earth, he did not create robots. He gave us a choice. He gave us authority. He gave Adam and Eve the ability to be godlike in image, in likeness, and in nature on this planet. So when we handed over that authority by way of the fall to Satan, we lost a lot, okay? And we allowed Satan to come into our planet to deceive, to destroy, to steal, to kill. And I'll get into this later a bit more, but I wanted to explain that because of the fall, it allows the devil to do certain things. So when you ask God why, it is because of the fall. It is because what transpired during the fall of man, what we lost in regards to identity and what Satan was able to gain. So when you think about the things that happened to you during the time of your youth, count it not strange that the enemy came into your life at a young age. For me, it was 8. For some people, it could have been younger than that. For some people, it was while they were in their mother's womb. There were certain things that transpired that tried to steal, kill, and destroy that person's identity so that they can grow up and question who they are, so that they can grow up lost. So that they can grow up never identifying with their creator. So that they can grow up in a world of darkness. In a world where they never come to the full knowledge of who they are. Why does Satan not want us to come to the full knowledge of who we are? Because if we come into the full knowledge of who we are, we now have the ability and the capability to destroy the kingdom of darkness. We now have the capability and the ability through Christ and through the redemption of what Christ paid for to really be a problem for Satan's kingdom. And he wants to hurt God. How does he hurt God? By hurting us. And how does he do that? By having us question our identity, never coming to the full knowledge of who we are, never coming to the full understanding of our God-likeness in his image, in his character, in everything that God is, he does not want us to be. Think about how the enemy came in your life very early. What transpired in your family? What transpired in your life? What traumatic event was caused in your life that had you question who you are, that made you silent, that made you fearful, that made you not be able to be the woman that God has called you to be, that caused you to give your body to many men, that caused you to open yourself up to things that you would have never opened yourself up to if that very thing did not happen to you? I know for me personally, that molestation that happened when I was 8 years old caused me to be silent for a long period of time. I was actually sharing with my husband, you know, psychologists say that when children experience that sort of trauma very early in their age where they're introduced to sex and that sort of perversion, how it opens yourself up to promiscuity. It opens yourself up to so much that you would have never opened yourself up to if you had not been impacted in that way. And I was sharing with my husband, I said, babe, the enemy tried to come after my identity so early in life because he did not want me to be in this place that I am in right now. He did not want me to be on this podcast sharing the importance of identity. He did not want me to be able to stand in my God-likeness and image and being able to speak the truth of God's word with power and authority that another woman would be able to wake up and come out of what she is so that she can truly understand who she was created to be through Christ. If I can silence Casey Alexis, I can silence many other women. So when we go through certain things, it's not because God did not love us. It's not because God did not want to protect us. It's not because God hated us. It is because there is an enemy that hates God. And because he hates God, he hates us. And because he knows who we are in God, who we are in Christ, he tries to come after us very early to stop us. To stop us from becoming that person that God created us to be. We become ineffective kingdom sons and daughters. And because we're ineffective, we cannot do harm to his kingdom of darkness. And so I hope that you understand that, ladies and gents, if you're listening. You were created for more. You were designed to subdue and have dominion. You are designed to be fruitful and multiply. But if there's an enemy out there that has really made it his life to steal, kill, and destroy that identity, he's going to do it. He's going to go after it with as much as he can so that you never wake up and understand who you were created to be. And so with that being said, even if you were not impacted in the time of your youth by something directly happening to you, there are things that indirectly happen to you. And so you're like, Casey, what does that mean? Okay, let's say, for instance, for a great example, Adam and Eve. I didn't eat that fruit. You didn't eat that fruit. But indirectly, because we came out of them, we have the fallen Adamic nature. So that's what I mean by something indirectly happening to you that causes you not to know who you are, that tries to stall your growth in Christ, that tries to keep you from understanding your identity in him. Indirect impact, like an ancestor or someone doing something in the past that now has impacted the third and fourth generation. We call that generational curses. We call that generational patterns. We call that generational trauma. Things that transpired that literally had, you weren't there, but it's directly impacting, indirectly impacting you because you had someone in your bloodline make a decision, make a covenant, build an altar, doing all sorts of black magic, white magic, voodoo, you name it. All to have earthly power, earthly things, right? They forsake their generations because they want something. And so they make a covenant. They make a commitment to the devil and say, hey, I want this. I want to be rich, or I want this sort of wealth. And the enemy's like, okay, well, if that's the case, Satan's like, okay, if you want that, sure, no problem. You're going to have to give me the third and fourth generation. And then you're like, third and fourth generation? Okay, let me sign at the dotted line. And then you hand that over because guess what? You're not going to be here, right? So who cares? As long as I'm wealthy and I'm rich, who cares what happens to the third, fourth generation? And so what's a good example of that? King Hezekiah. This story kind of, it gets me so upset because King Hezekiah was a king. I will have the scripture in the show notes. So King Hezekiah, he did something that exposed the kingdom of Israel to persecution from Babylon. Princes from Babylon came to Israel. He showed them everything. He showed them Israel's glory. He showed them all the riches. He showed them all the bountiful things that Israel had. And because of that, a prophet came to King Hezekiah and said, hey, because you did that act that you should not have done, now your children's children are going to be placed in bondage by Babylon because they're going to come back. Okay, and they're going to come back for the things that you showed them. And do you know what King Hezekiah said? He was like, okay, I'm not going to be allowed to see it. That's what I mean by your ancestors or people from your bloodline making covenants or doing things that you were not there for, but now it is indirectly impacting you even though you were not there. Okay, so now you have to deal with the ramifications of their sin or their covenant or their altar or their witchcraft warlock stuff that they were doing. I know it's not fair, but guess what? They had the authority at that particular moment, right? Just like King Hezekiah, he was king. He had the authority at that time to show those people that came from Babylon all of the glory of the kingdom. And because he had that authority, later in life, his children, children's children paid for it. Anybody knows that fairy tale, Rumpelstiltskin is the same thing with Rumpelstiltskin. That king wanted wealth, and he made a covenant with Rumpelstiltskin for one of his children. At the time, he didn't think he was going to have kids. No big deal. Met a queen, had a baby. Rumpelstiltskin's coming. It's like, hey, I want the baby you promised me. And the queen's like, no. She doesn't want to give over her child. But guess what? A covenant was made. A commitment was made, and they had to honor that commitment. Eventually, thankfully, the queen ended up finding out his name, but if she didn't find out his name, she was going to have to give over that baby. Was that baby there for when her parents had made that stupid decision? No, but the baby was going to have to pay for it. So that's what generational curses, generational covenants, generational trauma, generational patterns, generational cycles, that's how those things come about, because of a person in your family generationally doing something that impacted you to the point where now your identity has been stolen. Your identity now belongs to a demonic entity. Your identity now belongs to some outside force that you never made a commitment to. And so that's why learning who we are in Christ is so important, because the more we learn who we are in Christ, the more those things get broken, the more those things get destroyed, the more that we get out of those generational curses, those generational patterns, those generational traumas, the more we learn who our identity is in Christ. But if we're ignorant to the devices of Satan, if we're ignorant to the kingdom of darkness, if we're ignorant to how he operates, how he maneuvers, how he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, we not only expose ourselves to continuous identity theft, we're leaving our whole family exposed, our children's children, and we essentially become a King Hezekiah. That's why I talk about there being an identity crisis in the church, because we're missing that key point of deliverance in church. That's essentially what deliverance is you coming and understanding more and more who you are in Christ. And as you understand that, and as you come into it, deliverance begins to happen. It either happens by fasting and prayer. It either happens by you going to church and, you know, a minister anointing you and casting out those demons, casting out those very things that transpired in you. Deliverance can happen as you go to therapy and the therapist is now going over parts of your life where trauma came in, where the enemy came into your life. And because they're able to expose that area of your life, now deliverance can happen. Now you can be free from that particular trauma. And so deliverance is so important, but deliverance happens the more and more you know who you are in Christ. And so a lot of us in the church are still suffering. A lot of people are still going through generational curses, generational trauma, generational cycles and patterns, because we don't understand identity, because we lack knowledge. As the Bible says, my people perish due to the lack of knowledge. We lack the knowledge in regards to what it means to have my identity in Christ Jesus. So I'm going to end this episode here, but I want to challenge you and ask you, as you sit down and think about everything that I went over, what have you lost? How has the enemy come into certain areas of your life to steal, kill, and destroy your identity? Because by the time this season is over, if you listen and really hone in, you're going to get all those things back and more in the mighty name of Jesus. Because now you're going to have the knowledge. You're going to have the kingdom wisdom in order to take back your identity and to take it back through Christ. Because God had a plan. Although Adam and Eve lost their identity in the garden, God had a plan already in place to get us back. His desire is for all of his children to come back to him, to come back in his image and in his likeness. And so he already had a plan in place to do that. But a lot of us are not tapping into that plan. We're not even scratching the surface of it. We just say a prayer and we know we go to church for 2 hours and we're like, okay, but that's not enough. And we know that's not enough because of the state of our world. Look at our children. Look at what's transpiring. Why? Because the enemy's plan from the very beginning was to kill, steal, and destroy identity. And if I can have you question God, question who you are in Him, you'll never come into the full understanding of who you are. So ladies, stay tuned. Next week's episode is going to be amazing. We're going to talk about the plan that God had in place to get us back to Him through Christ Jesus, what that looks like, right? How our identity in Him allows us to have kingdom abilities on earth as it is in heaven. So we want to make sure that we're staying tuned. We want to make sure that we're sharing these episodes. Do not be selfish. Do not keep this to yourself. Share it with your sister friends. Share it with someone who has children that is currently battling identity. Share it with people who are sitting there talking about they don't know who they are. We need this right now. We need to hear it. We need to know it. We need to understand it. And so make sure you share it. Make sure you meet me here next week, same time, same place, right here on Being Eve.
Well, ladies, thank you for tuning in. I hope this episode blessed you as much as it did me. Before we depart, a quick reminder to head on over to the show notes where you will find all the info to keep in contact with Being Eve and to learn more about our guests. Make sure to let them know Being Eve sent you. Last but certainly not least, ladies, don't forget to review, share, and subscribe. This is your opportunity to let the whole world know where we gather for absolutely free. As always, ladies, please continue to love, live, and thrive without losing the authentic you.